everybody. Cal Banyan here. Cal Banyan's Hypnosis, Etc. Another episode with L. Ron Ferguson. Hey, we're going to try to keep this tight to 20 minutes because you know why? I got to scram. I got to get out of here. Me and some friends, we're going to a recording of Hell's Kitchen. I don't know how this ever happened, but evidently we got tickets. The limo is picking us up. And I've got to get done. But you come first. We're going to get a good 20-minute episode in here and get her done. Let me tell you about L. Ron. L. Ron, a one percenter, best of the best. Really, boy, I wish I was as good as he is at his age. I mean, he's a young man, and he's already at the top of the profession. He helps me teach classes. He sees lots of clients, get lots of great feedback on him. And you guys are learning about how great he is by watching him in these podcast. How you doing, L. Ron?
I'm doing good, Cal.
Hey.
Thanks for asking. Thanks for the vote of confidence. Confidence comes from success, and nobody can make you a success like Cal Banyan. I mean, I'm lucky. I'm privileged. I'm blessed, really, to have Cal in my back corner as my advocate. Someone in your corner fighting for you. I feel like that's what Cal does for me just by being there, just by teaching me, just by being there to answer questions, and in the back of my mind to answer questions most importantly, because I already know what he's going to say most of the time because it's been drilled into my head. So thanks, Cal. I mean, for those of you who don't know, Cal synthesized 5-Path. We have one of the most successful hypnosis centers that there is out there, just with a whole empire of hypnosis products that are really the creme de la creme, the solid gold of what you're going to find out there that will make it between the difference of a lightning bolt and a lightning bug as far as success. You want to have that lightning bolt potential when you're succeeding with your clients on a daily basis. So thanks, Cal.
Beautiful. Thanks a lot. So what do you got for us today?
Questions.
Good.
Yes. Let's start out with something like this. I was looking for questions, and I thought of an experience that just happened recently. You know, people calling up, and this happens from time to time. This is actually a common thing that happens. A prospective client will call up and say, you know, I had this experience, and I just knew it wasn't working for me because I didn't feel hypnotized. Or they'll say, I saw another hypnotherapist, I saw them a couple times, and I knew I wasn't hypnotized. Can you help me? What do we like to say to them, Cal?
Well, you know what? I just told everybody how great you are, how you know so much. And you know what? I think you're going to have to convince them by answering that question yourself.
Ha. Okay, Cal, I'll do that. Thanks. I say, well, you know what? The kind of hypnosis that we do is way different. I don't know what they were doing with you, but we're going to make sure that you're in hypnosis by testing you. And after all, number one, the work is going to stand on its own. I mean, the important thing is that you're going to have the results of what you came in for after you leave the session, not necessarily just that you feel like you're hypnotized in session. And I'm going to be doing some covert testers on you with some of the only people who do that to make sure that I know you're in hypnosis. And there's ways of being able to ascertain that information. One of the things that I like to express to them and make sure that it's really clear up front is that there's no such thing as a hypnotized feeling, because number one, this is a red flag for some major misconceptions about hypnosis, because you have to realize that through life, we're going through life, growing up in this country, watching TV, seeing stage hypnotists, seeing hypnosis portrayed in the movies, and the whole time we're subconsciously making up what we've come to believe a hypnotized feeling feels like. And that's going to be subjective to everybody. And when they come in and get a hypnosis session, and it's not that, this little story they've made up in their head, then they're going to think that they're not hypnotized and reject all of your suggestions. So it's very important to upfront make sure that they know that hypnosis is completely natural. They've been in it thousands, hundreds of thousands of times in their life. It's this state of mind where they're going to be highly receptive to ideas. Number one, how do you think all those negative beliefs got there in the first place? And so we're going to create that natural state and maintain it professionally in the office. I mean, if you ever cried at a movie, if you've ever missed your exit, if you've ever had a cut and don't remember getting it, you've been in hypnosis. So it's a good opportunity to educate them and really make sure that they don't have any false expectations about what to experience. And also, of of course, let them know that what you do is going to be a whole lot different. And a lot of the time, we give our clients convincers, and they will know that they've been hypnotized after they leave our office.
Great answer. Now, let me just add one thing. You know, I am absolutely amazed at, we have many hypnotherapists go through our Week of Power, which is a confidence and skill building course. How many hypnotists don't understand that themselves? Hypnosis doesn't feel like anything. Why is that? Because hypnosis is a heightened state of suggestibility. What's a heightened state of suggestibility feel like? Nothing. Except for maybe what was suggested. If you're relying on just suggesting to the client that they're relaxed, then the client's just going to feel relaxed. That's why it's really important to master some convincers and to do them right. Excellent. What else you got for me?
All right. How about this, Cal? What's a way that you like to handle transference when it comes up? Transference between a client, you know, maybe they're starting to really develop a little bit of a hero complex. It's coming out in their language. You've noticed it up front. And how do you like to proceed from there?
Well, back in the day when I was in college and I was studying psychology, we talked a lot about transference. Let me tell you, one of the big differences in being a hypnotherapist and a counselor or psychologist is typically the counselor or psychologist will see a client many, many, many times. A well-trained, competent hypnotherapist typically is only going to see the client for a few sessions. Now, of course, it could always go longer, but typically, I'd say at our office, we see someone five or six times on average, and we're done for the average issue. And what happens is shorter sessions like that, transference doesn't occur that often. Now, talk, just a little bit about what transference is. Transference is where clients start to feel about you or think about you in a way that has nothing to do with you. It has to do with their past. For example, if someone came into my office and I'm working with them and everything I say just seems to make them more fearful or more distant. And if I was to age regression on that fear, I'd find out that back in their past, they have maybe an uncle or a stepfather. It's kind of a big guy with a beard and a ponytail. And what's happening is they're transferring some of that fear from that experience and that individual upon me. Now, of course, there's times when I would that's negative transference. There might be a case where a client comes in and, man, he just hits it off with me, trusts me implicitly right from the beginning, has warm, fuzzy feelings of trust. And if I was to regress on that, I'd find out that maybe his favorite uncle or his dad that he trusted and loved was kind of a big fellow with a beard and a ponytail. And I was benefiting by my similarity with that person, and they would transfer those feelings on myself. Other examples is this kind of sexual desire kind of transference where they have a need to have a personal relationship and will transfer that need on the hypnotherapist or other helping professional. This is fairly common, and what I do in this case is I ignore it. I just completely act as if I'm oblivious to it, like it's just going over my head and continue my work. If I do my work properly, the work that needs to be done will be completed before the transference really becomes a problem. And as long as it is a positive transference, meaning that it's a liking or something that would be beneficial in the hypnotherapy process, I just leave it in place. And also, as we move through the work, we tend to decrease that desire that they have for you, because healthy clients don't really transfer their needs upon their therapist. Now, if it becomes apparent that there is some transference going on and it becomes really obvious, there's a couple things you can do. One is just refer them out to someone else that you believe is a capable hypnotherapist. Really working with transference phenomenon is something that you really need to have more training than you would get as a hypnotherapist. Now, if you are someone that has that training on how to work with the transference phenomenon, such as the client thinking that they love you or they want you to be their friend and this kind of thing, one of the things you can do is really do the work on that need. That if they are fulfilling their needs, wants, and desires outside of the office, then they're not going to be transferring them on you. And for example, if they want to be your friend and they insist on meeting outside of the office to have a beer or something like that, why is that? It's because they, for some reason, are not fulfilling that need, want, or desire to have a friend in their normal life. And with the work that we do as hypnotherapists, we can free them from whatever is inhibiting them from going out and making those kinds of friends. And that's the same for if someone has a emotional desire or a sexual attraction with you, to really talk to them about, you know, healthy clients don't do that, or people who are really taking care of their needs outside of the office don't have that come up, and you can begin to work on that. But and again, what would you do is you'd bring that feeling up that's inhibiting them from fulfilling that need, want, or desire in a normal, natural way outside of the office. The real danger, I think, is when hypnotherapists start transferring their needs, wants, and desires on the client, and then we can run into all kinds of ethical issues that can lead to lawsuits. Or I'm on the ethics committee of the National Guild of Hypnotists, so I know a little bit about the kind of thing that gets hypnotherapists in trouble. And basically, if you don't meet your clients outside of the office, and when you are in office, if you're not kissing on them, and if you're keeping all your clothes on, you're going to not get into trouble. Just remember that you always have to put your client first, and that's the main thing, their needs, not yours. And if you're finding that you're falling in love with your clients or having the desire to meet them outside of the office, then you need to go find a hypnotherapist that can help you to get rid of that blockage that's preventing you from building those very important relationships in your life. How's that, Elron?
That's excellent, Cal. Thank you. Got time for one more?
Sure, we got a quickie.
Alrighty. Say client comes in, and I love it when this happens. They come in and they're stuck on the fact that what was uncovered last week wasn't accurate. Let's say we've just done age regression. Say that they're stuck on the fact that it wasn't totally true or accurate, and they've come to the belief, they've kind of been working around their head, and they said, oh, you know, I just felt like I was making it all up just to please you. What do we like to say to them, Cal?
Oh, okay. Good. This is a easy one. And that is, I will tell my client that, guess what? Reality has nothing to do with it. We're not doing forensic hypnosis. We're not trying to uncover evidence that we're going to take to court. Much of what's inside of us is distorted, where they fill in the blanks, or the perceptions at the time were incorrect. The important thing is, whatever comes up in the regression came up from within you, and that is what's inside of you, and that is the motivational factor. It is what's causing your thoughts, your beliefs, and your emotions, and driving your behavior and causing you to have the mood or affect that you're experiencing in daily life. And so actually, it's more important that we deal with whatever came up in the regression, whether it was true or not, than actually dealing with reality. In psychology, we have these tests called projective tests. For example, the Rorschach test, which is the ink blot test, where they hold up ink blots and say, gosh, what does this remind you of? Or the TAT, I think that's the thematic apperceptive test, where they'll just show a picture of, for example, a person standing by a house, or a person standing by a road, or two people standing next to each other, and they say, if this had a story, what would the story be? And what, as the client begins to talk about the ink blot or about the image that's being shown, we're starting to learn how they put together their world, how they perceive things habitually, what their take is on the world, what their beliefs are. And really, when we do age regression, it's really a projection par excellence. You know, the that far beyond what we can do if you're a strictly a psychotherapist without hypnotherapy tools. We can go in, we can find out what is in there, and if they do make things up, or if they relive events from the past, they're not going to be 100% historically correct. That's part of the issue. And then what we do is, with the adult aspect of the client, we can go back and kind of straighten up any misperceptions that lies within their subconscious mind. So once again, I'd say, of course, it's not historically accurate. Reality has very little to do with it. What we do is we're accessing the information that is inside, and then we can work with it and straighten it out. Anything else you want to add to that?
I like to tell them, you know, all we're doing is setting the stage. And after all, the emotions that you experienced were very real, right? And they go, oh, yeah. I said, yeah. And those are the things that we're getting to that are underneath any little things that we use to try to set the stage, so we can get some of these thoughts and some of these feelings and then start to change them and notice how those old feelings that were there underneath what you thought wasn't accurate, well, it doesn't really matter. We're changing those feelings that are underneath so that when it's all said and done, you can just feel differently. How's that sound? And then they seem to kind of get the idea.
Yeah, exactly right. It's not that we're trying to do forensic hypnosis. We're not trying to uncover the scene of a crime, get evidence, that kind of thing. What we're trying to do is find out what kind of thoughts, what kind of feelings exist in their personal history as it is stored in the subconscious mind. We can shift that. We can have them experience insights. And as I've talked about in the last couple episodes, these insights, as they look at the past differently, allows them to have those epiphanies and go into that state of hypersuggestibility, where we can do the segue into the suggestions that they really came in for and have a excellent, wonderful hypnotic result. How's that?
That's awesome, Cal.
Hey, let me ask you something. Are you going to go to the NGH convention?
Maybe.
Maybe.
I hope so.
I want you to make a mental statement that you're going. You don't have to tell anybody else. And, you know, the whole universe will fall in line, because I'm sure there's lots of people out there who would like to meet you. I hope Celeste goes to the NGH convention this year. I hope Meredith goes. And I hope you go so you can meet all of the fabulous viewers of the program. It's so exciting and so rewarding to go to the NGH convention and meet all the people that from all over the world that watch and benefit from this program. It's one of the most rewarding things, and one of the biggest reasons that I just keep on doing it. How's that sound?
That sounds good. I think I'm, for some weird reason, I feel totally motivated to go now. I don't know. I think I'm in hypnosis.
You're going to have a great time.
I am going to the hypnosis convention.
You
yes,
know what?
It's going to be great.
Make the mental commitment. You're going to have a great time, and then everything will fall in place.
How's that for a direct suggestion?
Perfect.
You accept these suggestions more powerfully than ever before.
All right, let's wrap it up.
All right, thank you for another fantastic episode of free top hypnosis information. This stuff is awesome. You're not going to get this anywhere else. We're the only people that do this sort of thing, and it's for free. It almost disappoints me that it's free. I want to charge for it, but if I was in your position watching this, I would be jumping up and down right now. I'm almost jumping up and down in my seat right now. I've taken a few pages of notes just sitting here in my position. It's my honor to be a part of it. If you want to learn more about how to do this process, look at hypnosiscenter.org. We have products there. Hypnosiscenter.com. No, wait. That's hypnosis.org. Excuse me. Hypnosis.org to look at products. Hypnosiscenter.com. We'll have information about what we do, as well as a training schedule. To follow us on Facebook and make little comments and see some blogs and pictures and stuff like that, you can go to facebook.com/hypnosis, etc. If you want sessions with me here in Southern California, you're certainly welcome to call the center and schedule some sessions. I'm pretty booked right now, so you're going to have to wait a little while. But thank you for watching. This is L. Ron Ferguson, signing off.
You know what? Tell them, when you call up, say, hey, I am a fan, and he'll squeeze you in. And if he doesn't, I'll squeeze you into his schedule. I'll just grab him by the neck and say, this is a fan, so you got to do it. Of course, I do sessions too. Be happy to help you out. See people from all over the world. All right, this is Cal Banyan going off to Hell's Kitchen. See you later. Over and... This recording is the property of Cal Banyan and Cal Banyan's Banyan Publishing Incorporated. All rights reserved, for private use only, may not be duplicated without written permission.